بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. الحمد لله. We are now on the sixth bab. The bab is titled العمل الذي يبتغى به وجه الله. The chapter on the actions by which one seeks the countenance of Allah. The deed by which one seeks the countenance of Allah. What is the countenance of Allah? ذاتullah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-'aliyyah. And this is basically a chapter that Imam al-Bukhari pens to provide hope. One of the early commentators on Sahih al-Bukhari, Imam Ibn Battal, he says that it seems that Imam al-Bukhari penned this chapter as if to say that maybe he was worried that those who heard the previous chapter about reaching 60 and not having any excuse may be worried that they've lived lives of sinfulness and that they are cut off from Allah's mercy and forgiveness. So Imam al-Bukhari wanted to correct that possible misunderstanding by penning this chapter. And there's two hadith in this brief chapter. We begin with the first one. He says, باب العمل الذي يبتغى به وجه الله فيه سعد حدثنا معاذ ابن أسد أخبرنا عبد الله أخبرنا معمر عن الزهري قال أخبرني محمود ابن الربيع وزعم محمود أنه عقل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال وعقل مجة مجها في دلو كانت في دارهم قال سمعت عتبان ابن مالك الأنصاري ثم أحد بني سالم قال غدا علي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال لن يوافي عبد يوم القيامة يقول لا إله إلا الله يبتغي بها وجه الله إلا حرم الله عليه النار. So this hadith comes from Utban ibn Malik al-Ansari, who is one of the people from the tribe of Banu Salim. And he says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to me and said, if anyone comes on the day of judgment who has said La ilaha illallah sincerely, seeking thereby the countenance of Allah, Allah will make the hellfire forbidden for him. So contrast this with the previous chapter. The previous chapter, Imam al-Bukhari is talking about how those who have reached 60 years of age have no excuse anymore, meaning the nadhir al-shaybi wal-harami, the warning of gray hair has come. They had to prepare for meeting Allah Ta'ala. So perhaps a person's reached that age and they're thinking, well, I'm doomed because I haven't spent my life in ta'a. I have lots of sins. I have lots of things that I have to address. So here he provides this hadith to inspire them with hope, as if to say, even if that's the case and you have to redress the wrongs and prepare, don't despair of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, because you are still a mu'min. You say, La ilaha illallah, seeking the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So you have reason for hope. And the shahada will ultimately benefit you. Even if you are in a bad state, inshallah your state improves. And at the end of the day, you have what guarantees your salvation in the hereafter. The root of salvation, aslul najat, is the shahada said sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this actually brings us to something of a conversation about salvation. Najat. In Islam, and we've addressed this many times in different classes and talks, we have lots of things, lots of dichotomies that we have to be mindful of. For example, we have the batin, the inward, and that is contrasted with the outward. So you have this dichotomy, right? You have tawakkul, trusting in Allah Ta'ala, a state of the heart, and that is contrasted with the asbab, taking the means. So these two are dichotomies. You need to have both. And if you have one and not the other, it's going to land you into a problem. For example, if you only have the inward and you don't have the outward, what is the result? You only tend to matters of the heart, but you're not actually observing the sharia. This is why Imam Malik, he says that whoever observes matters of the inward while neglecting the law, neglecting the outward, what happens to that person? He says, فَقَدْ تَزَنْدَقْ. That person will become a heretic, because it's all about the heart and they're not observing Sharia. If they only observe the outward and they neglect the inward, so they do everything outwardly, but they neglect sincerity and the actions of the heart, what about them? He says, whoever does that, فَقَدْ تَفَسَّقْ. They'll be corrupt. And then he says, whoever gathers between the two of them, فَقَدْ تَحَقَّقْ. They will have attained realization. So really it's about putting those two dichotomies and giving each thing its right. Same thing for tawakkul versus taking the means. And speaking about salvation, najat, it is our belief as Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah that ultimately salvation is in having iman. Even if your deeds are lacking, even if a person has disobeyed Allah Ta'ala and they have neglected the wajibat and the fara'id, they are under the threat of divine punishment, تحت الوعيد, and they are under the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إن شاء عذب وإن شاء غفر له. If Allah wills, He could take that person to task. And if He wills, He can forgive that person. But what guarantees their salvation in the hereafter is iman. And that iman is expressed in the shahada. This is our basic theology. And was really disturbing and somewhat interesting to observe on the da'wah scene is that there's not much focus on this. When you look on the da'wah scene, whether it's online or offline, among people engaged in da'wah to non-Muslims, there isn't a lot of focus on salvation as the most important thing to aim for. There's always this equalization, I think, between al-iman wal-amal al-salih. So the idea of having iman and righteous actions. And we have to have both. But sometimes in the da'wah scene, you see the two are paired together as if you can't have one without the other, in the sense that your salvation depends on having the righteous actions. Now, of course, that could be taken the wrong way. Like, no one is saying that you don't need to do righteous actions. But if you're doing da'wah in a Christian society where people have this remnant of Christianity, you know, this idea of faith versus deeds, you need to emphasize to them that it's not about your salvation does not depend on you meeting a standard of perfection that is not attainable and being sinless, right? You have to highlight that ultimately salvation is your iman, and that iman drives you to amal salih, to righteous actions. This is very important because if you give people the wrong impression, they'll think, well, I'll never meet that mark. I'll never reach that standard. I have so many things I'm struggling with. That's too strict. It's too difficult. I don't have that discipline. And you hear this from a lot of people who are interested in Islam. To them, the idea of Islamic belief makes sense. But they don't become Muslim and they say, well, Islam is true. It sounds right. I agree with it. But I don't have the discipline to do this and to do that. You know, the five prayers and staying away from this and that. I want to be able to do it properly before I become Muslim, right? Okay, Habibi, if you say La ilaha illallah and be a sinful Muslim, that's better for you than to wait to be perfect before you become Muslim, right? Be a fasiq Muslim with iman rather than a non-Muslim without iman waiting for some perfection before you embrace Islam. So we have to highlight the importance of salvation. So in that dichotomy, again, there is the iman of the heart and expressing that with the shahada, and then there's the perfection of iman by the righteous actions. You can't neglect righteous actions. Like, no one should hear this and say, oh, you're saying it's not important. Well, it's important. But there is a dichotomy in the sense that the two are not the same. Right, a person, if they live in ma'asiyah, but they die in a state of iman, they are under the will of Allah Ta'ala, insofar as Allah may forgive them, Allah may take them to task. It's up to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But if they have the root of iman, aslul iman, then ultimately they go to Jannah, even if they were sinful, right? So here the Prophet ﷺ is not speaking about, what he's saying is, if the person says La ilaha illallah sincerely from their heart, they'll enter Jannah. That doesn't mean they necessarily get a clear pass without any accountability, but it means they have secured aslul iman, the root of faith, or aslul najat, the basis for salvation. The second hadith, he says, حدثنا قتيبة حدثنا يعقوب ابن عبد الرحمن عن عمر عن سعيد المقبري عن أبي هريرة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يقول الله تعالى ما لعبدي المؤمن عندي جزاء إذا قبضت صفيه من أهل الدنيا ثم احتسبه إلا الجنة. He says, this is coming from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah says, so this is a hadith Qudsi, Allah says, I have nothing to give but paradise as a reward to my believing servant, who, if I cause his dear friend or close relative to die, he remains patient and anticipates Allah's reward. So this is, of course, another cause for hope, because if you pair this with the previous chapter about people who reach 60 years of age, this makes a lot of sense. Because, you know, when you're young, you know, your 20s and 30s, it's not so apparent to you. But as you get into your 50s and 60s, I'm not at that age yet, but even I see it. What do you notice among people who are in their 50s and 60s? They go to a lot of janazas. Like, there's lots of funerals. Like, people they know, or relatives they know who are older than them or similar in age, are passing away. So their beloveds are leaving the dunya before them. They're experiencing that mourning with people they're close to. So here the Prophet ﷺ is saying that if you lose someone, a close friend or a relative, and you remain patient, and you don't engage in any prohibited acts of mourning, niyaha and wailing and all of these things, and you anticipate the reward of Allah and hope in that reward, he says, I have nothing to give but Jannah to such a servant. And this is a cause for hope too, because everyone who reaches their 60s and beyond is going to experience loss. And one of the realizations people make, often it occurs much later, maybe in their 30s and 40s, is that probably the most difficult loss they're going to endure at that stage is the loss of their mother and father. And this is going to happen. And this is probably the first time where the person, you know, they can lose friends, they can lose some distant relatives or people they know, and those are painful experiences. But it's at a stage in one's life where they lose their mother and lose their father that this really comes to the surface, the need for holding themselves to sabr and anticipating reward, and knowing that this is a fading dunya and that no one lives forever. So if you have that quality and you're patient, Allah Ta'ala says clearly your reward is nothing but Jannah. So, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.